Kenelach, this happens when the Alter Rebbe lived in a town called Liozne. And there was a poor Melamed. Many stories start with the beginning. There was a poor Melamed, a teacher, but it doesn't say a teacher. It was always a poor Melamed. Why does it always say that? Let's not go into it. A poor Melamed, a poor teacher, the beginning of a Hasidic story. The story was happening in Liozne. I guess from every story you can learn, for every time and every place. The story happened in Liozne. Rabbi Bernstein, we don't live in Liozne. Why are you telling us a story? Because there is a lesson for everybody and every time and every place, whether it's New York or California or England or France, South Africa, Australia, wherever you may be. Or Borough Park. And so now there's a poor Melamed living in Liozne. Somehow this applies to all people everywhere. The story of the poor Melamed, the poor teacher. Okay, enough said. Shh. Now this Melamed, this teacher of Kinelach and the Cheder, he could not make a living just himself teaching the Kinelach. So his wife also helped to make money for the family, and she was a very good baker. She would bake stuff at home, delicious cakes and cookies and all kinds of breads and bagels and all kinds of challahs and delicious baked things. And she would sell it, and also the Melamed, the teacher, would help sell it when he wasn't teaching. And somehow they got by, but still they were very poor. And this chassid, this yid, was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, who lived in Liozne. One night, the poor Melamed, it doesn't say his name, was learning in his house at nighttime. It was a freezing cold winter night, just like these nights have been, so freezing, freezing cold. But there was a lot of snow on the ground. Around here, it's been freezing without snow. But there was snow and ice, and the cold wind was blowing, and it was such a night that a person just would not go out on such a night because it was just terrible weather. And the Melamed was learning in his house, and Baruch Hashem, it was warm because he had fire, he had wood burning in the oven. In the middle of the house was a big metal oven. In the oven was burning wood. And you know who was sleeping on top of the oven? The Kinelach, his own kids, they love to sleep on top of the oven. I guess it wasn't so hot that it's going to burn you. In other words, it wasn't an oven like you have in your house you put the chickens in. It's like a big thing with that I guess they cooked on it, and they also baked in it, and they also could warm themselves by it. It was the house, the heater of the house. And in a certain part of the big oven, the Kinelach liked to sleep, because it was the warmest, nice, comfortable, cozy part of the house. And they put their little blankets over there, the little pillows, and they got in their little pajamas, and they went to sleep on top of the oven, and they were sleeping in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, there is a knock on the door. Okay, you would like to knock? I'll give you the count of three. Go ahead, knock. Okay, I counted to three. Quietly. I'll count again. One, two, three. Very good. Enough knocking. Oh, isn't it fun? An interactive story. Okay. And all of a sudden now, the Melamed thinks to himself, do I really hear a knock on the door? Because it's so freezing cold. It couldn't be somebody is out at this hour in this weather. But he heard it again. Go ahead. Do it again. One, two, three. Okay, stop. Okay, very good. Oh, we are having a group activity story interactive as you're interacting with your noodles, tomatoes, ketchup, and cheese, and you're interacting with your milk and your forks and your apples. You're interacting with the story and your bread, of course. Okay, now, the Malamed said, I do hear a knock by the door. I'm not mistaken. And he goes to the door. He opens the door. And he sees a man. It doesn't even say if he was a Yid or not, so it doesn't matter. But somebody was outside. Somebody was freezing cold and really is in trouble. This man is a freezing cold man who came out from this terrible, icy, stormy night. And he looks like he is really freezing. And he can't even talk. He's just shivering away. And the Malamed knows he better bring him in right away and help him. He brings the man in the house on the stove, obviously in another part of the stove, not where the kiddies were sleeping, was a kettle of hot water or hot tea. And the Malamed made the man some nice hot tea and gave it to him and gave him some nice blankets to warm up. And the man felt better. It doesn't say if he said a word or not, but he was very weak and very tired. And this is what the Malamed did. He quietly, carefully lifted up the kindelach from the stove, and he put them near the stove so they could sleep, but not on the stove, because he wanted to put a bed, he wanted to make a bed on top of the stove for the guest. What kind of things do you give a guest? The not best or the best? The best for hachnasas orchim, right? The best. And so he lifted the kinelach off the stove and he put them down and they were still schluffing. He made a bed on top of the stove for the oirach, for the man, and the man went to sleep on top of the stove and he fell asleep. And then, kinelach, early in the morning, this guest woke up. He took his coat and he left. Early, early in the morning. As he left and closed the door, the kinelach woke up because they heard the door close. It doesn't say exactly where the Malamed was at this point. I guess it doesn't matter. But the kinelach saw that their place on the stove was now empty. So they jumped on top of the stove to go back to sleep in their nice warm place. All of a sudden, one of the kinelach, the first one up, he says, Tati, Mommy, that man who was here, he left something on top of the stove. And Tati comes over and he sees a bag. He left his bag. He left some of his stuff over here. Well, the Tati went to the door to try to run after the man in the freezing cold, and he looked to see which way the man went. I don't see where he went. He looked for footsteps in the snow. I don't even see any footsteps in the snow. Maybe the wind blew some of the snow and it covered up his footsteps. So I don't know which way to go if I go out in the snow. There is nothing to show. And so, the Tati went out as far as he could very quickly to get a look up and down the road, but he didn't see anywhere anyone going at all. Well, I can't catch him. I can't run after him. And the Tati decided, I better look into the bag to see maybe it says who the man was so I can help get him his stuff. And he opens up the bag and he sees this bag is full of golden coins. Golden coins? Oh, there was a fortune, like a treasure of golden coins in that bag. And all of a sudden the kiddies say, golden coins, golden coins. And of course the Tati says, wait a minute, don't get excited that it's golden coins. First of all, we have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. We have to get this back to whoever owns it, whoever that man was. And then the Tati got worried. He says, maybe this is a plot. Maybe this is a plan. Maybe this is a trick. Maybe this man came in our house and left this on purpose because maybe, who knows, maybe he stole it and he's leaving it here. And if it's here and somebody catches us with it, we'll get in trouble. Maybe somebody is making a plan against us. Now, unfortunately, in those days, many times there was an alila. Like I told you, alilas dam. Remember a blood libel? They would put, they would do all kinds of things against the Jews and blame them for different things. And even in the story with the Maharal and Tadus, he on purpose put the box containing all of that not good stuff in the special house of five sides, just in order to make a trick and a plot. Well, maybe in our story, maybe the Malamed says, somebody planted this money here and it's a trouble for us. So he decided he is going to go to the Alter Rebbe. As I told you, he's a chassid of the Alter Rebbe. And he's going to find out and ask the Alter Rebbe his advice, his etzah, what to do with this bag of money, this bag of gold. And he'll tell him, of course, what happened. And he goes now to the Alter Rebbe and he tells him the whole story, exactly what happened. And the Alter Rebbe puts his head on his hands, closes his eyes, and he's thinking for a few minutes. And the Alter Rebbe looks up at the Chassid, and he says, Hashem has sent you a gift. Nobody will ever come back for this money. It is yours, the whole bag of gold. But, the Alter Rebbe says, be very careful not to spend this gold in any which way. You'll be very careful how you spend it and what you do with it and when you will spend it and how you will use it and when you will use it. So the Alter Rebbe says, the first thing you will do is finish teaching the Kinnelach until the end of the time that the studies are over. In other words, you know, the Kinnelach learn until a certain time and then they have their vacation. So the Alter Rebbe says, don't stop in middle of the time. Learn till the end of the time with your Kinnelach and then come back to me and I'll tell you what to do. And so the Malamed went on teaching his Kinnelach. They did not even spend any of the money because the Alter Rebbe just said, go on teaching and come back later. His wife continued baking and selling the baked things to the people in the town of Liazne. And at the end of the time of teaching, and the kiddies went on their little vacation time and didn't come to the cheder, the Malamed comes back to the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe says, okay, instead of living in your little falling apart house, go into the town, because the little falling apart houses were like on the outside of the town. You should go in the town and look for an apartment on top of a store. And you will rent the apartment and the store. Your family should move into the apartment and the store. You should open up a store. And as for the store, you should open up the store. And now you should be a businessman working in the store. Now, it is a little bit surprising, as I see all the rebbes here also listening to the story in the lunchroom, that the Alter Rebbe told the teacher, the Malamed, not to go on teaching, but to now become a businessman in a store. Okay, for whatever reason, of course, the Alter Rebbe knows why he should be doing this. But of course, as we all know, to be a teacher of little kin. The lach is the best job in the world. And we would never trade it, chas v'shalom, ever, to be a businessman in a store. But anyway, this is how the story goes. I'm only telling the story, and I'm not giving my own pirushim. I'm not explaining my own explanations. And so can Allah. He took a little bit of the money out of the bag. He found a store that was empty. On top of the store was an apartment. The family moved into this the apartment, which was much nicer than their house. It wasn't a falling apart place, but it was a nice place. And they opened up a store, and the Alter Rebbe said that you should buy things from the businessmen that come from different towns, and you should buy things for the store, and then sell things in the store. That's how a store works. People come to the store to sell things to the store, and you buy a lot of that stuff, and then you sell it in the store. And so, the Alter Rebbe also said, work in the store for 1 year, and live in the apartment for 1 year, and then come back to me, and I'll tell you what to do after that. The Kinalach, during this year, the store did very good business. He bought things from the businessmen who came, and he sold things to the people of the town, and people liked the store. And of course, the Malamed was a fair businessman, and he took care of the people nicely, and his wife probably also helped in the store. After a year, he had hardly touched any of the money from the bag of the gold, but he had made, Baruch Hashem, a lot of money from the store, and he was doing very nicely. At the end of the year, he goes to the Alter Rebbe. At the end of the year now, the teacher who became a businessman in a store comes to the Alter Rebbe, and he tells the Alter Rebbe a whole report about what was going on. And the Alter Rebbe says, okay, now this is what you should do. Continue living in the apartment. Continue having the store. But instead of buying from the businessmen who come to Liozna, and you pay them not only for the stuff, but you pay them for bringing it from different places, you should go to Vitebsk. Now, Vitebsk is a bigger town that's not that far away from Liozna. And a lot of the businessmen who came to Liozna came from Vitebsk. You should go straight to Vitebsk, and you should buy stuff there, and bring it to your store, and sell it in your store. But instead of paying the price of the businessmen who come to Liozna, you will be traveling to get the stuff straight from Vitebsk. So you'll get it much cheaper, and you'll be able to make more money in the store. And so, for that year, and the Alter Rebbe said, do that for 1 year and then come back to me. So for that year, our new businessman, Malamed, who used to be a Malamed and now is a businessman, he went to Vitebsk. He did business there. He bought stuff. He brought it to the store. And the business went very, very, very well, Baruch Hashem. And he made even more money. Okay, as he's making more money, it's getting noisier. I don't know what's going on over here. The more money he makes, the more noise is coming over here. Shh! I don't know what good all this money is if it's more noise. Okay, let's try to be quiet for another 2 minutes, because that's all the time we have. And I would like to go on with the story, because it's a very good, interesting story if we could just tell it. Your job is to eat French fries and tuna fish and listen to this story instead of talk. I mean, it's so delicious and everything. If you're talking, you're not eating, hopefully. Otherwise, there's a crash because the talking is going one way and the French fries are going another way. And if you're talking and eating at the same time, it's going to be a crash of French fries and words. Shh. Okay. At the end of the year, the chassid comes to the Alter Rebbe. And he gives a report about what happened that year. And he had hardly used any of the gold from the bag still because he's making his own money through the business. And the Alter Rebbe says, okay, this is what you should do now for the next year. The businessman and the things that you have that you bought in Vitebsk, they come from Moscow. Moskva. So instead of going to Vitebsk to buy the things and paying the price of the businessman who brought it to Vitebsk from Moscow, you will go straight to Moscow. You will buy a lot of things there. You will bring those things to Vitebsk and sell it to the people of Vitebsk also there, the businessmen there. And then you will also come to Lyozna, to your store, and sell things in Lyozna straight from Moscow. And that way, you'll buy even more things and even cheaper, and you'll be able to make a better profit. And so can Allah for the next year. And the Alter Rebbe said, come back in 1 year and we'll see what to do from there. So for that year, the new businessman goes all the way to Moscow and he buys all kinds of things and stuff to sell and business things, and he gets a very good price. And he brings all that stuff to Vitebsk and he sells it to the businessman of Vitebsk, and he makes a lot of money that way. And a lot of the stuff he brings over to Lyozna, to his store, and he's selling stuff from Moscow in his store, and people come from Lyozna and buy in his store, and he's making so much money. Unfortunately, he wasn't still a teacher teaching the Kindlach, but he was making a lot of money as a businessman for whatever reason the Alter Rebbe had. But we're not done with the story yet. Mirz Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue with our very interesting story. Okay. This is what happened with our Melamed, our poor Nebuch Melamed, who now has become a businessman because of that bag of gold that was found on the stove. And the Alter Rebbe first said, get the store in Lyozna with the apartment. And actually, no. First thing was to finish learning with a Kindlach. Then he got a store with an apartment. And he started doing business in Lyozna. And then, after a year, the Alter Rebbe told him he should go to Vitebsk. And that was the city that the businessman came from there to Lyozna. But he would buy directly from Vitebsk. And then, this is like learning Gemara, and then Alter Rebbe after a year told him to go to Moscow. And Moscow was the big city in Russia where most of the businessmen came to Vitebsk to sell stuff. And now our Chassid businessman, who used to be a teacher, a poor teacher, was now going all the way to Moscow. And he was buying a lot of stuff. And he was bringing it to Vitebsk and selling it there. And then he was bringing it back to Lyozna and selling it there. And he was doing a very good business. And he had hardly taken any money from the bag of gold at all. Because he was so matzliach, successful in his own business. And now the Alter Rebbe told him, after a year, he came back to the Alter Rebbe that he had been doing business in Moscow. And the Alter Rebbe told him, don't go to Moscow, but now go to the big city called Königsberg. Königsberg is the place that Moscow and the businessmen of Moscow get their things. So you will go to the main place where all of those things come from. And you will not have to pay the businessmen of Moscow their price for bringing it from Königsberg. And so now, Kenalach, our Chassid businessman who used to be a poor Melamed, is now going to Königsberg. And he's buying a lot of stuff from Königsberg at a very good price. And he's bringing it to Moscow and he's selling it there. And then after he sells it there, he brings more stuff back to Vitebsk. This is like learning all kinds of Torah, Mefarshim, and Gemara with the thumbs up. And then he brings it to Vitebsk and he sells it there. Then he brings it to Liazne in his store and he sells it there. And he's doing a very excellent, good business. And Kinelach, he was becoming a very big, wealthy businessman. And each time he went to Königsberg, he would ask the Alter Rebbe's bracha, and everything went in a very good way. One time, of course, this story can't just go on with where he's going and what he's buying. Something's got to happen over here besides all this buying and selling and money. One time, Kinelach, that our chassid, businessman, went into the Alter Rebbe before going on a trip to Königsberg. And the Alter Rebbe said to the chassid, you know, you're always going, buying all these things in Königsberg and all the other cities. Why don't you bring me a gift from there? Bring me a present. Kinelach, the Alter Rebbe is asking his chassid to bring him a present, to bring him a gift. Well, the chassid was very excited. Well, maybe he was a little bit embarrassed also. I never thought myself to bring the Rebbe a gift. But if the Rebbe is asking me, what an honor. Oh, sure. Bezus Hashem, I'll be so happy to bring you a gift when I come back from this business trip. And Kinelach, the chassid, goes to Königsberg. And the first place he goes, before he does his own business, because he's so excited that the Rebbe is asking him a personal thing for the Rebbe himself to bring him a gift, to bring him a present. What should I buy the Alter Rebbe? What would the Alter Rebbe like? You're talking about a Rebbe, Kinelach. What do you buy a Rebbe for a gift? Well, he thought to himself, maybe I'll go to the beautiful store of silver and gold because I want to honor my Rebbe with something very special. And he goes into this store of silver and gold and jewels and all kinds of beautiful things. And he sees over there a snuff box. Now, as you know from other stories, they used to have and they still have a kind of a good smelling powder. And they used to smell this stuff, and it makes you feel good. And even the Alter Rebbe, it seems, would be shayach, would be a person that would like to use this stuff. Of course, whatever a tzaddik does is for a special ruchnistik and neshama thing. It's not just stam, you know, good-smelling powder. But there's such a thing as smelling the snuff. And it has a certain effect on your neshama, how you feel, whatever it is. Anyway, instead of just to have a little can or something, you could pour the snuff into this beautiful golden box, and it would be a very special gift, the chassid thought. So he bought the golden snuff box, and he paid a lot of money because it was such a beautiful golden thing. And when he came back to Liozne, he went into the Alter Rebbe and he gave the Alter Rebbe the gift of the snuff box. And the Alter Rebbe opened up the package and he saw the beautiful golden snuff box and he smiled and he says, "This is a very beautiful gift and I thank you very much. But it's not exactly what I had in mind." Well, Kinelach, the chassid is thinking to himself, you know, the Alter Rebbe is not telling me what he wants, but he's just saying that he wants a gift. Now, something very important here we should know. The Alter Rebbe just first said a gift. And then he's saying now, this is not what he had in mind. But he's not telling the chassid exactly what he wants. Do you know why? because it's a very important thing. The Rebbe, many times, our Rebbe, or the Alter Rebbe, whichever tzaddik, he wants us to figure things out for ourselves. If they don't tell us exactly, it means we can figure things out for ourselves. We should try to figure it out and think ourselves what we should do. Not that we're always told exactly what to do. Or it could be for another reason that the Alter Rebbe is not saying exactly what. And now, Kindalach, the next time the Chassid went to Königsberg, he went in for a bracha, and he had in mind this time he wants to bring the Alter Rebbe a better gift, because he remembers the last time the Alter Rebbe said it's not exactly what he had in mind, but he did smile and he liked the gift. So where did the Chassid go the next time he went to Königsberg? He goes back to the same beautiful big store, which is the nicest store in Königsberg. And he thought to himself, what can I buy the Alter Rebbe? He just didn't know what to buy. And he ended up back by the snuff boxes. And this time he saw even a more beautiful golden snuff box. Maybe it had even jewels on it. And he bought now even a more beautiful snuff box, even more expensive.